Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2, the first three verses there. We see here David is about to die. And he calls his son Solomon to his side. And what does he tell him? Let's look at the text and see. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. So here we see the answer to the question is very obvious here, so far as what David calls upon Solomon to do, gives him a charge, and lists all of those things there that he is commending himself or commending Solomon to do. In other words, he as a father, one king to the going to be king, Solomon. What does he tell him? As a father, or as far as that goes, as a parent, if you had a privilege to be able to be conscious like this, what do you tell your loved ones? If those words are going to be the very last words that you say, what are you going to say? Look at this list. It's not a selfish list, He didn't advise him so far as foreign policy, nothing like that, no military strategy. He didn't tell him to watch out for and settle domestic affairs. He didn't tell him to keep the eye on commerce and to build the country up like that in the way of industry. Taxation would have been another subject he could have. But he doesn't say any of those things. He tells tells Solomon that his personal greatness and his personal happiness depended on his living out the precepts of God. Generally, we consider Ecclesiastes being written by Solomon, though that's not a concept, should not be set in concrete. But you remember, the writer there shows all of the things that he had done. He had accumulated wealth. He had building projects, all kinds of things. And a lot of it tells us that it was vanity and striving after the wind. But we come to the end of the book where we see that it's the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Are things that different today? We're inundated in a society that has all kinds of problems, all kinds of temptations that appeal to the young as well as the old. We grapple with moral issues, abortion, anti-God media, I guess we could put that way, because there's so oftentimes leaning to one side or the other. And people act almost like they want to hear some magic solution to all of the problems and issues that arise in our society. They want to have some kind of an incantation that would utter something and make all of our dilemmas go away. Yet David and his words to Solomon are applicable today. our success and our in a godless society depends upon immersing ourselves into the living God by His book that He has given to us. You have a lot of people say, "I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't study the Bible." Well, yes, you can. Just get out there and do it. Statistics indicate to us that most people, even most supposed Christians, do not read the Bible regularly. George Barna, who's a statistician, I guess, he goes to great lengths to give various statistics, but he's probably the most respected scholar in that particular field today. He says that 80% of Americans believe the Bible is the most important book of all time. We would agree with that wholeheartedly. But we can't stop there. He goes on to say that 45% say, now remember that was of all the people, 80% thought the Bible was an important book. But 45% said that they never or rarely read it. One out of six in America read the Bible daily. These figures may have fluctuated a little bit from year to year because I think he publishes a lot of these statistics, and they go up and down every couple of years or so. But you want to get down to really where the showing the bark or skinning the bark off of a tree. Another statistic. 6%. Only 6% of Americans believe that Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. That's a sad, sad commentary on our time and Bible reading. But why is the ignorance so rampant and things like so silly and ridiculous as this? When we have the Bible, probably every home has the Bible, unless they're an agnostic or an atheist, of course, they'd probably get rid of those. But so many times they have had an opportunity at least to look at the Bible and read it a little bit, and hopefully well, they would follow it in an orderly fashion and learn some important lessons there from it. But there's three reasons why people don't read the Bible as they should. First, they don't believe they have time. We are all busy, aren't we? You and I are just as busy as the next fellow. And there's only so many hours in a week, and we utilize those days up as clearly and as forcefully as we can. But we're filled with activities of all kinds, work, recreation, kids going to school, kids, period. You know, even people that are retired are busy. And there's two observations about that. First of all, Jesus is the Lord of our time. He is the Lord of your time and my time. He's in the one to control. When we call Him Lord, we automatically give Him permission to run our life, to lord it over each of us. But that would be that we would want that to happen and look forward to those times to speak with God and to hear Him through His Word telling us things that we need to be careful about, things we need to keep from doing, and other things that we must do. And secondly, they don't believe they can understand. I've had many people through the years have talked about that. I'd love to study the Bible, but it's just too hard. Another person said, "Well, you got to have a theological degree before you can study the Bible and be profitable at all." Well, it's true that there are difficult parts in the Bible, but they're not all that difficult. you can turn in the Bible and find some difficult passages. And if you have some kind of an order about reading the Bible, it's going to help a tremendous amount. First place, the Bible is written on about the same level as a normal newspaper, somewhere around the 6th to 8th grade level, generally. But let's just suppose that you got a letter from the IRS, and they had a number of cutting remarks about your finances and the way that you've been handling those things. You and I, I'm sure, would go to great lengths to make sure that we understood every word that they were using. And some of them would not be so familiar with us, so we'd have to look up the definitions or inquire somehow about what point that the IRS was trying to make. But you know, reading the Gospels will help you understand about Jesus Christ. There isn't any better place to start a Bible study, I don't think, than in the Gospels. Either John, any one of them. Matthew and John generally get the most attention, but they all need to be studied. And we learn from our Lord and Master that way. See what he did. Does he really love us? Does he really care about us? You know, the Gospels where we learn that all of those things. And then look at the people. We're studying in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, and at the end of chapter 7, it tells us there the kind of teaching that Jesus did was to common everyday people. And the people heard him gladly because they could understand. They could hear, understand, and saw how to put things into practice. And he used several illustrations to show the truthfulness of all this and the fact that everyone is involved in trying to live an acceptable life before God. And then another thing that people say about studying the Bible is that it's boring. And that just makes me want to choke sometimes. It's just, you know, people that are bored with life, something's wrong. Why would you be bored? There's so many, many things to look at, to do, to go to the places. Look outside at the trees, the clouds. All of those things declare the majesty and the glory of God. But how can you say it's boring? The Bible is filled with adventure, greed, murder, intrigue, plots, giants, battles, excitement, riots, prisons, shipwrecks, and on the list goes. Nearly every page in the book of Acts, you see movement and action. And we need to treat it like that. And remember that this is history, real history, that we need to be learning ourselves so that we can teach others, but also in regard to our children. Some of the leading characters were shipwrecked, were stoned, thrown outside the city, left for dead. Some were in a shipwreck. Some were assassinated, beaten, and imprisoned. And among brethren, they were glorified as heroes. But oftentimes, people will get their ego out of kilter, and they'll think about money and power and those kinds of things, which do not answer any of the questions or problems that we face in our society today. Was it a movie? Was it a video? A novel? No. It's the Bible that each one of us have at home on a coffee table or somewhere that's readily acceptable. And so it it's still, as we apply the truths to our life, it's still an exciting thing when you realize that the Creator of the universe is speaking to us through His book. The real problem in all of this is that people are simply not convinced about their soul's value or their soul's salvation. I can't do this, but if I could, I might try it sometime. But I don't look forward to this. If I tell you that I'm going to give you $500 a day, if you spend 15 minutes each day reading, studying, and putting those things that you learned into application in your life, what would happen? If I was to give you $500 a day, Paul's the only one that raises his hand. I imagine there's more now that you're embarrassed about it. I'm not saying Paul's embarrassed, there's others that didn't raise their hand. But, it's just, if I pay you $50 a day, at the end of 30 days, you're going to be, of course, that may be the wrong way to appeal to all of this, but that's our society doing some of that. But if they would study and digest scriptural truth, I feel very confident that they will find the time to read and study the scriptures. Don't you? It's a matter of priority and motivation. Look at Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19, verse 10. It says, "More to be desired are they than gold." He's talking there about the commandments, God's word. "Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." So we have so much to be thankful for. And we have so much help available to us from God Almighty. And He's telling us how sweet the gospel is to each and every one of us. He says, "More to be desired are they than fine gold, yea, and than much fine gold." And so, why should we study the Bible? Well, bring our lesson to a close this evening. First of all, because God commands it. He commands us, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We're all familiar with those verses. Second Timothy 2:15 tells us to be diligent or study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So all of those things are important, that we study the Bible. Think of it as God's letter to you and me and everyone else, to do His bidding, that we might live throughout eternity with Him. Somebody says, "Well, that sounds like a pretty tedious command to study the Bible." And it may be a tedious task unless you love the author of it. The more we grow in love for God, the more anxious or more the more eager that we become to study it, because it's our Lord and Master who's given us these things, and we count it a joy that we have the opportunity to study and share that with still others. And so it increases our faith. It's not just about reading it, it's putting it into practice in our life, filling our minds with God's Word. But how do we know? We teach our children the song, Jesus Loves Me. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How do we know that the Bible is true? That's a valid question, even as for Christians to certainly to be able to answer, as Peter suggests to us. What if the Bible is just a compilation of legends and theories and philosophy? What if it was just on par with some of the ancient mythology that we have a few fragments of here and there? Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you ever struggle with doubt or intellectual questions? What about the matter of creation? You studied that? Study the Bible. Read the Bible first. Don't read books about the Bible. They'll lead you astray. I meant to bring along a bunch of books tonight to show you some of our own brethren are writing books that are very appealing. Not only the artwork done on the covers, but the titles and things like that, all made to appeal to man. But we need to study about creation. Be able to be ready to give an answer to those that might ask us questions about creation. And if God is sovereign, and we know He is, why is there so much suffering, people will say? Why is there so much injustice in the world? All of the time trying to poke fun at and ridicule the Scriptures. But nothing will convince you or me or anyone else the validity of the Bible by studying it. It's going to prove that over and over. I've mentioned before several individuals who have started out to attack the Bible. One of them chose the book of Acts where he would make his attack, and other books, and by the end, one of them is St. Paul, Citizen and Roman Traveler. I used to have that book. I don't know where it is now. But that was a book about the travels of Paul, primarily from the book of Acts. And it shows, he went on to show how the Bible was accurate. One of the big things that was convincing to him was the fact that you went down out of Jerusalem to anywhere. And it was because it was geographically downhill to Samaria from Jerusalem. It was only about 15 miles from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea. But it also dropped in elevation nearly 2,000 feet or more. So, you know, there's so many things that we need to bone up on. We need to review ourselves, to study what God's Word says. And studying the Bible, though, will convince one of the validity of God's Word. Again, Romans 10:17. You know, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You'll never find an agnostic reading his Bible. They just don't do that very often. I've only met one that was, he could quote quite a few passages. But he was still, he had not moved away from his position at all, which he started out with, you know, not really believing or knowing that we can know that there is a God, that he created the world, or Jesus coming to the world and dying on the cross, those kinds of things. They simply won't believe those things. You know? They want to take a middle-of-the-road approach. But you don't have to read books about the Bible, but read the Bible itself. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. In verse 11, beginning, it says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it." This is God speaking to Isaiah and the people of that day. But the truths of this are still just as much true today as they were back then. They were precious. Another passage in Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. And again, it's a very familiar verse to us. Let's begin verse 11. It says, Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And then verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here we have the scriptures, and you know, it tells us that the Bible is a living book. All other books are dead books. They may have a lot of truth in some of them, but it doesn't take a lot of truth. You know, rat poison is 98% good food for the mouse. Only 2% is all that's necessary for him to kill it. And just think about somebody poisoning the Word of God. All they've got to do is plant the seed for just a little bit before it will reverse things so far as the Bible is concerned. And so in reality, every other book is indeed a dead book. But the Bible, on the other hand, is a living seed that we plant in the hearts of individuals, and it grows on to maturity and on into eternity. But it must be personalized. The Bible study has to be personalized. We have to put it to practice in our life. How we speak to one another, how we speak to others, all of those things. How we live each day of our life, in work or play, whatever. We've been going to the hospital several times, last week, two times. And, you know, I'm still learning the area, but it seems like it's awful confusing to me because Janice has been driving. And I thank her for that. But I'm one of those guys that got to have some landmarks here and there to get where you want to go and where you need to go. If I drive, I can pretty well go back to most places, unless there's just absolutely too many left and right hand turns and things like that that get confused, or if there are not some kind of monuments, rather a building or a tree or whatever, which would signal to you that you need to turn. But, you know, we have to navigate, maybe use a GPS or whatever, and I can get there. But it's not so easy without those things. And we need to have faith, which comes by hearing the Word of God. And how are we going to get there? We're going to go to the Bible and let it determine itself what is good and what is bad. What does God want us to do? How does He want us to act? How does He? What kind of worker are you, or an employer? All of those things. But studying the Bible yourself, for yourself, and then discovering truth for yourself for the first time is an awesome experience, a tremendous joy that lasts for days and weeks and sometimes months as well. This evening, if you're not a Christian, you know what the Bible has, what the Bible says. It tells us exactly what, and we want to follow exactly what the Bible says today. And part of that is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must have faith. Be willing to repent or turn from sin, and then be buried, make the good confession and be buried with Christ in baptism. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, will you respond as we sing the song? It's been selected.